When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
At Blinds.com, going green means keeping green in your pocket, too. Save 40% on selected products at our Earth Day sale. Easily upgrade your windows with new, fully customized shades, shutters, and more at Blinds.com. We even have eco-friendly cellular shades that could save you money on your energy bill. Don't spend your whole day waiting at home for a design consultation just to get a quote. At Blinds.com, you can always count on upfront pricing right on the website, and we can ship samples directly to you, fast and free. Our design consultants are standing by to help guide you on your schedule. Need installation services? We've got you covered there too. Plus, you can rest easy with our Blinds.com 100% satisfaction guarantee. Join Blinds.com's over 2.5 million happy customers. With over 25 million windows covered, shop Blinds.com's Earth Day sale now and save 40% on selected products, plus doorbusters. 40% off selected products at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome Monty Poole, who just has finished up his post-game coverage and responsibilities for NBC Sports in the Bay Area. Monty, when you hear Steph say that, hey, they say Dre has a reputation, we do too. What's your reaction?
That's a direct reference to the announcement made by the NBA that they were suspending Draymond. And there was a line in that announcement saying that the suspension was in part due to Draymond's history of unsportsmanlike acts. So that's Steph being, you know, being kind of chippy there and just kind of dropping that little hint in there that, yeah, he read that. And, yeah, Draymond's history is what ended up being a factor in his suspension. And that was Steph's way of saying, I got you. We see you.
What do we know about what Draymond said to the team at practice? Because not a whole lot has come out about that from Wednesday.
No, not much. I mean, in fact, what Steph said was probably is the most that I've gotten from anybody. But knowing Draymond, he's a very passionate guy, a very demonstrative guy. And it's funny, the other day he was asked about Mike Brown, been a coach here, assistant coach for 6 years. And he said, what he missed about Mike being around. He said, his voice. And he said, Mike is one of those guys. He said, Mike, when you talk about offense, you know, he gives you all the details and he's all into it and you can kind of, you hear where he's coming from. He says, but when he talks about defense, he starts sweating. He starts getting into it. It becomes like a thing, you know. So, and I thought, that's Draymond. I mean, that's him. When he starts talking about something that's important to him, that's how he is. If you've seen his podcast, you see how it can get going. And so my guess is that, yeah, what he said to them was, okay, yeah, maybe I got screwed, but it ain't about me. It ain't about me. It's about you guys doing what you have to do to win this game. We didn't play well in Sacramento. We're at home now where we've been really good. And if we play the way we played all season at home, then that's what they did.
Oh, there he is. Sorry, we'd lost you there for a second. Monty, do you think that Draymond got screwed by the NBA?
That made me think that is the fact that they made a reference to his history, and to me that's off limits, because I mean, and Bob Myers, the general manager, kind of made an allusion to that the other day when he spoke. He said he's been punished for those things. What he didn't say was, so now they're going to punish him again for the things he's already been punished for. So yeah, that part of it I think was a little overdone. But I think Draymond's actions after, you know, he ducked his foot onto Sabonis' body, his sternum area, I think that didn't help him. The way that he kind of courted the crowd, stirred it up, and you know, Adam Silver's the commissioner's in the building, and, you know, they don't want to see that kind of thing escalate. And Draymond, where he took it, could have escalated. It didn't, but it could have. This was, you know, one night after E-40, you know, the rapper got booted from the arena because of a misunderstanding, as it was said. And so there was already some in the air. There's already some tension in the air. And I think they feared that what Draymond was doing could have made it worse. It didn't. But that may have been a factor in why they decided to suspend him and not just be satisfied with an ejection and a fine.
Monty Poole is with us from NBC Sports Bay Area following the Warriors' win over the Kings in game number 3. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. From your perspective, as someone who's covered the Warriors for a while, how critical is Mike Brown, their former assistant coach, to the success of the Kings in his first year as their top guy?
Oh, absolutely critical. I went up to Sacramento on Friday before the Warriors got there to talk to Mike, and we spent a half an hour. And my questions to him were about, how did you do this? Because we've seen what the Kings have been for all these years. How did you do this? And really, he explained how he got the job second week of May, and the Warriors were in the playoffs. They were playing the Grizzlies, and they still had to play the Mavericks. They still had to play the Celtics in the finals. He had the job 6 weeks before he was able to go there. But he hired two people that he trusted, and they hit the ground running. And so by the time Mike got there, it was like, you know, all he had to do was get into the pilot seat because the plane was already flying. And what they did was he connected one of his assistant coaches, Luke Laux, who'd also been with the Warriors in the past, to work with De'Aaron Fox. What made that really work is that Luke Laux was an assistant, was a player development coach with the Warriors, and the woman who was engaged to De'Aaron Fox had been an intern under him. So when Mike told Luke, okay, De'Aaron's your guy, De'Aaron's wife was saying, I know Luke, you got to listen to Luke. So, you know, it's little things like that, you know, and so Mike said the fact that De'Aaron's now wife already had a relationship with the coach who was coaching her husband, made it so much better. Mm. It was so easy for them to connect, you know. And so from there on, between what Luke did and what Jordy, his other assistant, did in terms of just setting the landscape. And so when Mike got there, basically all he had to do was, like, put on his shoes, walk into the office, and start meeting people. So that really helped. And you have a young, hungry team, too. The roster was put together pretty nicely. The trade last season, with make sure to Halliburton to get the bonus. You know, that is, I don't know if I've ever seen a trade work better for both teams than that one. Mm-hmm.
So, Monty, the series itself has featured a lot of 3-point attempts. But when I finally saw the totals from this game number 3, it blew me away. Did it feel like there were 97 threes that were jacked up in this game?
Yeah, for a while there, the Warriors, like two of every 3 shots in the first half from the Warriors were 3.
Oh my gosh.
It's like they were 3 happy, and it's not like Sabonis is a rim protector. But what kept this game wasn't their shooting, it's 40%. What kept them in this game was their defense, the fact that they took care of the basketball, 12 turnovers, only 7 points for the Kings off those turnovers, and they rebounded well. So between defense, rebounding, and taking care of the basketball, that's what got them this victory. And it's still, to me, it's not a series yet. The Warriors win game 4, then I think you say, okay, now we can compete. We got something now. It's even, and we're going back to Sacramento. And the Warriors knew from the start that they couldn't win the series without winning a game in Sacramento. They did not do that. They didn't come close in games 1 or 2, even though the game's relatively close. Because the edge they thought they had, which was the experience. And then in game 1, De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk, in their playoff debut, took over at crunch time. Mm-hmm. That had to be a surprise. That two guys who'd never been there before balled out when the game was on the line. And then to hear the Warriors the next day talk about how they didn't really play fundamental basketball, it's like, okay, you guys just, your experience edge was nullified by these two guys. And then you're talking about boxing out the next day after talking about all being locked in the week before game 1. So I was a little thinking, you know what, this team, they got some issues here. And they still do, because their home record is, what they do at home is not indicative of what they do on the road. Hasn't been all year. So, yeah, they won at home. They looked good doing it. They may look good doing it again on Sunday, possibly. But they still have to win there to really make this series truly interesting.
Well, you set me up because my next question was going to be, why have the Warriors struggled so mightily on the road this season, 11-30 away from Chase Center?
Makes no sense at all. I have asked that question, and really no one has given me a run with. And the same applies to all of us who are on the team. You know, they all scratch their heads and try to figure it out. But to me, the one thing we know is that at home, they are really good at winning games late.
Right.
You know, they had a number of games this year. They had 13 comebacks from games where they were down double digits and came back and won. Every one of those games was at home. That's not a formula you can work on the road. That doesn't work on the road. It doesn't work that way. And on the road, all your sloppy defense for the first three quarters, you get to the fourth, you're already down, you know, 15 points. You ain't coming back on the road like that. And so I just think that they didn't play determined basketball on the road on a regular basis. And why that is, that's the question that they couldn't even answer.
Monty Poole of NBC Sports Bay Area with us as he is headed home after covering game number 3. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. How would you describe the role of Kevon Looney?
He's at this stage, he's indispensable. And for a guy who's been through what he's been through, surgery on both hips in different years. First 4 years, you know, were almost a wash because he was hurt more than he was able to play. And then he gets through that, and then he's playing through neuropathy. If you know anything about neuropathy, you know there's no real cure.
Wow.
You know, you have to manage it. You have to manage it. And he's done things to his diet and exercise regimen, and he's managing it really well. And right now, he's always been a really solid defender, but he's gotten really good at becoming, he's a really elite rebounder now, especially on offensive end. I mean, in this game, he had 9 offensive rebounds. And somebody told me, I didn't confirm, but somebody said that Steph Curry shot 9 of 9 on Kevon Looney's offensive rebounds tonight, off of his second chance point.
Wow.
But I do know that, you know, as Kevon said after the game, he said, even when he was younger, he said that assistant coach Ron Adams has been around the NBA since, 1915. He said Ron told him that when you get an offensive rebound, kick it out. You got Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Those guys are probably going to be open when the ball goes, when you get an offensive rebound, because defense is scattered. And sure enough, he's learned that, taking it to heart, and he's using that. And so he's just, in a game where you don't have Draymond Green or Gary Payton II, their two best defenders, Looney was invaluable. And for 20 rebounds, 9 assists, where the hell did that come from?
Right.
So just a huge monster game from him. And he was huge last postseason. He's doing the same thing this postseason.
Yeah, he definitely filled some of that void in terms of the assists by big men that we normally see coming from Draymond Green, who's such a great passer. All right, Monty, so exactly. This is not really fair, but I'm going to do this anyway just because you're in the Bay Area.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I hope you don't mind, but you are a trained and professional talker, and you also think for a living about sports. So, again, total pivot. The A's shock baseball and fans of the Bay Area by announcing that they have secured the site in Vegas and are planning on moving. How much did you hear about that at the arena, and what's your reaction to it?
This is where it's been trending for years. When the former commissioner, Bud Selig, directed his team to his former frat buddy, Lou Wolf, and partner, that was like 20 years ago now, and instead of the three groups that wanted to buy the team, and the group that ends up with the team is Lou Wolf and his guy, Bud's former frat buddy, and at that point I thought, okay, what are you trying to do here? You know, you had two teams that wanted to buy the team and wanted to keep the team in Oakland, and Lou Wolf and his guy did not want to do that. That was never their plan. And so when Lou sold his part of the team to John Fisher, who is now on the team, you saw it just unravel. This was like, it really is a page from the script of Major League.
Hmm.
This team has, year after year, they were able to compete when they really wanted to. And then they decide, no, we're not even going to try anymore. We're going to let players go that, you know, have value, and we're going to get no names to come back into Oakland, and they'll play, and we'll be terrible. And, well, maybe then people won't come. Well, guess what? People stopped coming because they got fed up with an ownership that was trading away players they knew, bringing in players they didn't know, and jacking up ticket prices at the same time. That's a perfect scenario for declining attendance. And this is a place, in this ballpark even, it's old now. It's, you know, 54 years old, 8 years old, whatever it is. In that ballpark, they've drawn close to 3 million over the years, in 30 years. But that was when they were trying to win games.
Right.
And they decided we're going to become a farm team until we get a new ballpark. We're not going to care much about the product. And Billy Beane became a darling of baseball when the A's were competing. He got a piece of the ownership, and he just doesn't have the same bite that he once had. He used to be devastated when they lost in the postseason. And now he's just, you know, he's part of the ownership team, and he's just riding along. He's along for the ride.
How do people feel about Oakland losing its last professional team?
Ticked off. Ticked off. But they're not surprised because they saw it coming too. The ones who've been around saw this plan in working for years. You know, when you start doing what the Fisher ownership group started doing, that's a message to the fans. Yeah, we know that you want to be here for your team, but we got to rip away the players, and we got to make you pay money to see players you don't even know and never heard of them. It's been disappointing for several years now. And you can name, they for a while there, they would get really good players and recycle, bring new players in, and they could find a way to compete. But they lost the will to compete, and they don't even try to market the team very much. It's almost, it's a lot like the old Expos deal in Montreal.
Gosh.
You know?
Yes.
They wanted them out of there, so they got them out of there. And with a deliberate plan, this felt very much the same way.
Interesting. Well, Monty, thank you so much for responding to those questions. Just happened to be earlier today that the news broke, and so you are the perfect person to be able to bounce that off of. You can find Monty on Twitter at Monty, M-O-N-T-E, Pool, NBCS, because he covers the Golden State Warriors for the NBC sports affiliate in the Bay Area. We're glad to connect with you. Thanks so much for doing this with us live. We appreciate the time.
I gotta say, like you, I too lost my blue check mark.
We're no longer verified, Monty. We are free and unencumbered.
There you go.
Have a great night. Thank you.
All right, you too. Take care.
I'm JR of the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm also the host of the new podcast, Agents of Inclusion. We talk to a different Special Olympics athlete every week to learn how sports can bring us together.
We're bringing both the disability and non-disability community to one community. All one people, one family.
Took me a little while, but I decided to claim autism as my superpower. When you hear the word autism, don't let that hinder you from doing whatever it is that you want to do.
That's what Special Olympics tells you. You get involved in sport, but then you take it from the playing field out into real life.
Family means to me community, acceptance, love, embracing a person just as they are. That's what Special Olympics did for me.
It's all about family. Subscribe to Agents of Inclusion on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.